This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStudio.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
If you have recently moved to the Martin County area or you're looking for a church home, why not join us today at Abundant Life Ministries? We currently meet at a new location. It's in the Wedgwood Common Shopping Center. The address is 3204A Southeast Federal Highway, Stuart, Florida. This is the back entrance to the Martin County Realtors Auditorium, and the entrance faces Indian Street. The service this morning will be at 9:30 a.m. Join us now as we go to part two of a sermon that was shared on Father's Day, taken from Luke chapter 15, verse 1.
I almost sat with tears back at the back before I came up this morning because I received a text that said, Happy Father's Day. You've always been there to be a father to me. And I thought, God lets us maybe be a father to the fatherless sometimes too. Because before I came up, my phone made a little noise and I checked it, and somebody else's daughter that I remember being about this size, Happy Father's Day. And then I remembered last Sunday morning, a young lady came up to me that I've known since she was very small, and she gave me a hug and said, I won't see you on Father's Day, but I just wanted to make sure I told you now. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for being there for me and my family. Then I thought, Father, here's just three young ladies who all have been abused. Abused. But it's not just young ladies, it's also young men who've been abused. I never thought that 20 years ago or 25 years ago, when some of these kids would be in our family, that one day I would be able to give them a hug and say, I'll be your dad. It's a spiritual role. But not just that, it's also physical. They know that they could call my wife and I from anywhere in the world, and if we could get there, we would be there. Because somehow or another, they become a part of our family too. And I look at this passage and I realize that even in the church, our families are not really where they all need to be. And understand, maybe some of our families They've heard it from you and me. Maybe they're not going to listen to us so well, but maybe someone else, I believe this is why prayer is so important, Father, that you have put around them godly influences that can minister the love of God. Because understand that some of them have left. They've been out there a while and they don't feel worthy to come back home. I remember talking to a man that had been incarcerated for some time, and he said, "Pastor, I'm gonna be released. I've served my time." But he said, "I've hurt so many people, I have no place to go." My family, I burned all the bridges. There's no respect. They don't trust me. He said, "I don't even trust myself. I don't trust myself to be out of here because I don't know what I will do." I said, "But you've given your life to God." "Yes, I've given my life to God. I've done that as best I know how to do, but I have no family." Do you understand what I read with these statistics? What it's saying is we're in a nation that has lost its family. So now we have prisons, and they're more comfortable inside than outside. For 18 years, almost every Sunday, I was in jail because my father was involved in prison ministry, and we would go to Belgrade every week. A lot of stories over all those years with all the different prisoners. So many times the men would say, I was only out a few hours before they picked me up. And Dad would talk to these guys. He'd say, "You know, you were here last week. You were getting out this week. How are you back in prison again?" And the guys would say, "I don't know how to live out there because I have no one who cares about me now. I have no place to go." So I said, "I broke the window." This is on the street where the police department is. On the back side, they broke the window of the store to be arrested again because he said, "I'm better off in here than out there. And if all I do is break a window, that's not going to hurt anyone else. And at least I'm safe." You say, "Wow. Well, that's somebody that's been in and out, in and out, and in and out." But could I suggest to you that many from the temple's families and the church's families are struggling today to figure out who they are and where they're supposed to be. And I'm not throwing the blame at the father, because this story is about having a perfect father but a messed up kid. Don't let the enemy condemn you over the choices that your children have made. The enemy would love to say, "Well, if you'd done a better job, it's all your fault. You know, you could have done, you should have done." All of us could do the coulda, shoulda, right? And if the enemy's trying to nail a dad or nail a mom or something with a coulda, shoulda, take that to the cross right now and put it under the blood and say, "I can't change what was, but God, you've changed who I am. And I can certainly be a high priest and intercede for my family and be available." And we can always build from where we are. So don't let condemnation come upon you because of that little line, "Well, if you did it perfect." This is a story about God having done it perfect and the kids still being messed up. Now, I'm not saying that a parent can't mess things up worse, but what I'm saying is, if you're a young person and you've been blaming your parents, get over it, because the blame game is over. If you're old enough to do that, then you need to make a decision. to wake up, surrender everything, you may be able to still go back home, make some things right, and let God restore you as He. You say, well, my DNA is messed up. My father did, my grandfather did. Let's just go back to Adam, the great God that we serve, who made you, did not make any mistakes. So His DNA is available for us this morning. And we need not give the enemy authority after generations of sin. We need to give the blood opportunity to redeem us and give us a new beginning. So, I wanted to call your attention more to the Father than to the Son. He finally came to his senses, verse 17, he said to himself at home, the employees have a better life, I'll go home. And he's talking to himself, and since we're talking about God the Father, we understand this actually is kind of like a prodigal's prayer. Father, I sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy being called your son. I'm glad this passage is in the Word of God. I'm glad Jesus shared it with us because it shows us that our unworthiness is less than God's love and restored worthiness to us. However great our unworthiness is, it's not enough to tip the scale. I'm no longer worthy. But when someone says, is this a genuine repentance? Well, I've been with Gil when Gil has shared, and I've been with Don when Don has shared, and, you know, I like the challenge to see if the prayer is being prayed from the heart or just the head. I mean, some people will say a prayer with their mouth and it comes from their head, but it's not really from their heart. So if the question is raised, is this something that is real in you? Are you making a surrendered choice? Is it genuine? And one true indicator is whether or not the blame game's still going on. I know I found out being around prisoners for years that most of them weren't guilty of anything. But the Word of God says all of sin, so I knew they were guilty of something, right? So even if you don't belong in here, you still need Jesus to get into the kingdom, right? But when someone no longer is blaming someone else, and they come to the place where they're saying, I have sinned against heaven and you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, please take me on as a hired hand. Once someone gets real, you can see there's a transformation that's truly happening by the Spirit of God. So he returned home to his father. While he was, and this is the part that for Father's Day, I just wanted to say again to dads, never stop looking for the return, the great return. Mamas too, never stop looking for the great return. Now, this isn't looking for return like they left. Sitting in the office one day with a very well-to-do man, and in fact, he and his wife would end up making a very large donation to our church back in those days, and he had a son. I never met his son, but he told me, he said, I told my son, you get to come back one time. So if you come back, make sure you come back for the right reasons. Because if you come back for the wrong reasons, I'm not going to help you go the wrong direction when you leave the second time. I'll help you the first time, and you come back, you have a grace. And I thought, ooh, that's kind of tough. I remember my brother saying, I'm leaving home. I'm 4 years younger. And I thought, wow, that's cool. I want to do that. He had his license, you know, and back in those days, a parent could pull the driver's license. I guess if they weren't 18 or something, I'm not sure the age, but brother said, I'm leaving, regardless. He was so angry when Dad had his license pulled. But he said, I'm not going to help you leave. I don't want you to leave. I want you to stay in the house. And brother said, I want to do my thing. But Dad said, you leave, you run away from home. My father said, you're not coming back. And brother left the house. I remember seeing my brother. And he's with Jesus today. Can you say amen? Amen. I remember seeing brother when he's nothing but skin and bones because of the drugs. Drugs, alcohol, partying. So weak that he could barely make it through a day. Mama would sneak food to him. You mamas know. Daddy was rough and tough, you know, but mama would sneak the food. I had a little relationship with my brother, but not much. I rarely saw him unless he was hungry, you know, and then he'd sometimes come around. Mom snuck over and found all his dirty clothes and laundered his clothes and made sure there was food in the fridge, and she'd check up on him. And Dad found out one day and he said, you're not going to be enabling him. But the day came when brother was saved. Brother called me. He said, I'm ready. Ready for what? Jonathan, I'm ready. Larry, what are you ready for? You know, I'm ready to give life to Christ. He's in Martin Memorial, emergency. He had been DOA several times, you know. He was out there. You know, some of you may have grandchildren or children that are not where they need to be with God. Don't lose hope. I'm like, what are you doing in the hospital? I'm thinking some horrible thing has happened. I mean, one night he was so high, he... on one of these streets, like a neighborhood street where the railroad's at the end of the street. He was so high, he thought if he gunned his van and got enough speed, he could jump over the railroad. Didn't work. He did get on top of the railroad with the train coming. I'm like, what are you doing in the hospital? I'm thinking the most horrible thing in the world. I dislocated my shoulder on my skateboard. I'm like, are you serious? The DOAs didn't wake you up? Parking on the railroad with a train coming didn't wake you up? You see, we don't know what the pig pen looks like, but God is following our kids. And God knows how to reach them. And my father was off on his own track, but the love of God still chased him and found him. And brother would come to Jesus and he would serve the Lord up until the end of his life. And he's now with the Lord. See, this is about a father that's above the earthly fathers. Maybe there have been some preferences in the house. Maybe there have been some failures. But God the Father is still on the chase. He returned home to his father. While he was a long distance away, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. That's our Heavenly Father for all of us. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. That's a wild picture. Those of you that know me know that I grew up, my mom said that my father never held me once as a baby. I still really can't figure out how to believe that, how to understand that. You think your family's dysfunctional. We were in church and we were dysfunctional. Just because you're in church and you love God doesn't mean you are getting it all right. And, you know, the day would come when there would be an embrace, and you've heard the story, but it's like embracing a concrete pole. But I don't think we ever quite got to this. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. This was a sign of deepest acceptance and love and forgiveness. This is before the son has ever spilled his guts, because he had a perfect little line he's going to tell his dad, right? He has this all put together. But dad is running after his son. And God is running after your kids today and your grandkids today. And God is running after you today. Let me tell you, God knows how to meet us where we are. And where there's been abuse and misuse, and the enemy's come in, and there's been pain, and there is now perversion, God is bigger than all of that. And God knows how to reach him. And over the last several weeks, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. We're not finished yet. In fact, today I thought that's what I was going to talk about. And maybe this is spiritual warfare in the family. Maybe we need to recognize what's been going on in our families is spiritual warfare. Here's the love of God. It's a picture for us to understand that God's love chases, pursues, and embraces. It's powerful. Now he gets it out. You know, Father, I've sinned. He said this so many times, he's got it memorized. He's going to say it exactly right. I've sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger. The ring, I'm sure, was a ring with the seal. He's going to give him the family American Express unlimited card. He is now a part of the family, fully restored in a moment. A moment. Kill the calf. We must celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. I think that's an important line. Was dead. I wonder if you hear and you see what I hear and I see. When I read that, when the Father says, was dead, it tells me that they were beyond reach. So it appeared. It looked as if there would be no hope. The Father never lost hope. And the Father's love exceeded the Son's rebellion. Amen. I've experienced a little of this. I know someone's going to say, well, just how much could you get into? You got saved at 15. Well, thank Jesus I got saved at 15. Because 2 weeks after I was born again, my buddy was introduced to marijuana, and before long, his mother was shocked at his interest in growing things. Because none of the parents knew what was going on. In the church, families didn't know what was going on. But the enemy came into through the children. And here he's growing pot in the backyard. He has plants and he's collecting, he's marketing, he's selling. He will total 5 cars. The parents were blinded to what was going on. Later they would find out. But we're not blinded. We understand this is spiritual warfare, right? Spiritual warfare. So once was dead. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead. Anyone know someone that needs to have this transformation? Was, but now, returned to life. He was lost, but now he's what? Found. So start the party.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible. Thank you.